what people are talking about.
Let me hit you with some knowledge.
This is TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now, the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Here's your host, Dave Baum.
Hey, good to have you back with us again. And thanks for making the show bigger and bigger and bigger every week. Just like our first topic, healthcare costs. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Yep. 59 countries now and more than 1,600 cities worldwide are listening to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com, and we appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for telling your friends. Keep talking to them about the issues we take up every week, the contemporary issues, some that affect you in the pocketbook and some that affect you mentally. We have two great ones for you today, healthcare and education. Could you ask for two bigger ones that affect you both mentally and in the pocketbook? Actually, our first segment on the Baum Show today involves something that we're all involved in. Ever get a bill recently? Went to your doctor? You're covered. You've been told by your employer you're covered. You get a bill and you say, wait a minute, where'd that come from? That was the cost of that procedure? Or here's one better. You work for a company that's been paying almost 100% of your health care costs over the years. And then suddenly somebody, usually from HR, comes to you and says, you know what, we can't do 100% anymore because you know what it's costing us as a corporation? And, of course, our number one priority is our shareholders. You know what it's costing us? So we have to ask you to assume maybe 50%, maybe 60%, maybe 70% of health care. I'm not telling you something you don't know. What you do know, the bottom line is that health care costs have been rising well past the annual rate of inflation. It's been relentless. It's lasted for decades, the rise in the cost of health care. And frankly, it's left many Americans struggling to pay their medical bills. Workers like you complain you can't afford high premiums for health insurance. Patients like you forgo recommended care rather than paying out-of-pocket costs. Does that sound familiar? Employers are cutting back or eliminating health benefits. I just mentioned that. Forcing millions more people into the ranks of the uninsured. And frankly, regardless of where you live, state and federal governments are straining to meet the expanding cost of public programs like Medicaid and Medicare. So, for what I've said so far, does this apply to you? Please raise your hands. Oh, I see everyone raising their hands out there. Healthcare costs are far higher, by the way, in this country than in any other advanced nation on the face of this earth. And healthcare costs here have been rising significantly faster than the overall economy or personal incomes for more than 40, count them, more than 40 years. It may be, according to some experts, the worst long-term fiscal crisis facing the U.S., and it demands a solution. Well, we've heard that about other important domestic problems over the years with respect to Republicans and Democrats, haven't we? It demands a solution. So far, we haven't found any, but we'll ask an expert today. Because joining us on the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com is Dr. Paul Howard. He's the managing editor of Medical Progress Today, a web magazine devoted to chronicling the connection between the private sector investment and biomedical innovation, market-friendly public policies, and medical progress. He's also affiliated with the nonpartisan Manhattan Institute. And it's all about healthcare. And by the way, our phone number, should you like to get in, and we'll have a bonus for at least one caller in the first hour of the show today. Frankly, in broadcasting, the more popular the show gets, the more giveaways become part of the show. But this giveaway you'll like. So don't do anything yet. I'm just suggesting wait a little while for Dr. Howard and me to get into our conversation about healthcare. But the number you should remember is 1-888-463-6748. That's 1-888-463-6748. 563-6748. Dr. Howard, welcome to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Dave, thank you so much. I'm very honored to be here.
I'm exasperated. I've been around for a number of years, well past 21, and I had this feeling years ago that as I got older and was more successful in my endeavors, I probably would be able to handle a heck of a lot more of medical costs, health care, as I got older, even in those days where a lot of people post 65 are really scared because of what can happen to them. Yet I get the perception today that that's not been happening in this country for a long time, that the more we lurch along, the less people are confident that they can contain health care costs and basically balance their own checkbook on it.
Right. Well, you raised a really interesting issue in your description of the situation, which is the rising cost of healthcare for employers and how they're passing along those costs to employees. And you rightly pointed out that one way they're doing it is passing more costs directly to their employees in terms of increased premiums and co-payments and out-of-pocket, all that kind of things. The other thing that's happening at the exact same time is, you know, that's eating into your salary as well, because the benefit package that your employer gives you, provided they cover your health insurance, is all one package. So if their health care costs are going up, it can only come out of one place, and that's your paycheck at the end of the day. And that's one of the things that experts think is holding back growth in income. So even as the benefit package may rise because health care becomes more expensive, you're still seeing less take-home pay coming into your paycheck.
I want to share a brief story with you. In my other life, in which I'm a media consultant to companies, I was asked to come in and help some people prepare communications for executives who had to tell their global workforce that no longer was the company going to cover 100% of the medical benefits because the company couldn't afford it. Translation, as you know, shareholders will be demanding more and we can't pay 100% anymore. You see this all over with GM, all Detroit, etc. But what was amazing to me was the response from the workforce. Now, we're talking about semi-skilled, on-the-line workforce in the main in this corporation were absolutely stunned because they had been led to believe that they would be covered at least 100% for life by this company, and now in the middle of their lives, they get this news. You probably hear that all the time.
Yeah, especially for, you know, those large companies that have a lot of legacy commitments to their workers in terms of pension and healthcare costs. And you hit the nail on the head talking about GM, and some of the other car manufacturers have enormous healthcare liabilities on their ledgers that they need to think very carefully how to take care of. But the real question is, look, we as a country, and of course the rest of the developed world, is aging, and aging faster than ever before. And Medicare costs are, of course, rising rapidly, like all our other healthcare costs. There's an enormous long-term Medicare deficit. It dwarfs that of Social Security. So we need to be thinking outside the box about how we're going to be controlling healthcare costs, so at the same time offering more security to the American worker, because they are really concerned about that.
Politics aside, why does it seem when it comes to health care, and I could mention four or five other major issues, that politicians at the state level and the federal level, with some exceptions, are afraid to take risks? What are they afraid of?
Well, they probably don't want to tell you something you don't want to hear. The issue is, and I think, you know, to borrow some economic jargon for just a second, economists would say that healthcare is a luxury good. So all the things being considered, you're going to consume more of it. You know, you may want or not want an extra TV, but if you don't want to be sick, you don't want to have arthritis, you don't want to have diabetes, you're going to pay more. You're going to demand more of those goods. And the more we subsidize those goods, the more people will demand of them. So the question is, as people age, they're going to be using more health care, and how do we ensure that they get the highest quality health care possible at the best price possible? And the debate between the political parties is really about what you think is the best way to ensure that security and at the same time try and control spending.
Well, I'm not an economist, and as a guy who majored in journalism in college, I tried to avoid numbers as much as possible because I didn't want to deal with that. But it seems to me that anybody with a modicum of common sense would believe that if we had some national standards for health care, we at least would be on the road to success. We don't have any national standards, do we?
Well, you know, what we've got is a fractured system where the incentives don't really align very well. And just to take one example, for Medicaid and Medicare, if you one of these people like me who have an employer-covered health insurance, primary care physicians have been seeing their reimbursements from insurers of all types, both public and private, but particularly for Medicare and Medicaid getting slashed. So they're the gatekeepers to the system, and they're seeing their reimbursement slashed. And as a result, primary care doctors are dropping out of the system, capping the number of patients they see. And generally, it's getting worse. If you need to find a primary care physician, particularly if you're in a low-income person in a program like Medicaid or Medicare, you're going to have a problem finding a physician. But the nub is, if you want to control all of these diseases that are so expensive and damaging to our lives and health and productivity, you need primary care physicians who are going to help you monitor those diseases and control your health over the long term. So in a sense, we've got programs that are fragmented, that pay based on a visit or a service, instead of saying, what's the best holistic way to keep this individual healthy, not just for the next year, but for the next 5, 10, 15 years.
Isn't it kind of sad that we found primary caregivers, the ones you're talking about today, for people in inner cities and in rural areas, in emergency rooms of hospitals?
That's right, and that's one of the signs of the crisis, is that as people lose access to primary care, where are they going for their health care when they need it? They're going to emergency rooms where the care is, of course, extraordinarily expensive, and it's episodic. So, you know, if a diabetic collapses and has to go to the emergency room, well, we're giving them a quick fix, but we're not ensuring that day-to-day that their diabetes is under control. And if you can't do that, you're going to wind up with all sorts of bad outcomes in terms of heart attacks, amputations, blindness. It just gets worse if you can't provide a steady access to primary preventive care.
Our guest is Dr. Paul Howard, the managing editor of Medical Progress Today. We're talking about national health care. I didn't say nationalized health care. I said national health care. Basically, what I'm talking about is health care that everyone can get access to, whether you're making $18,000 a year or $1.8 million a year. Now, speaking of that, if we're looking for ways to overcome stumbling blocks of a new national health care system, does this mean, is one of the major stumbling blocks, in your opinion, the difference between being poor, being average wealth, and being rich? In other words, are people who make policy, are they concerned about providing the same thing for every level of income?
That's certainly one of the debates, but the real dividing line in America right now, I think, is between people who get insurance through their employers or through a program, in other words, who are low enough income to qualify for Medicaid or are old enough to qualify for Medicare, and the people who fall in between the cracks, and that means people who don't get insurance through their employers or who don't qualify for one of those government programs. And because of the way we've set up our insurance arrangements, you know, starting back during World War II, so if you or I get our health care through our employers, that's money that's not charged against us in terms of taxes. In other words, it's tax-free. It's a benefit that's tax-free to us. But if the employer doesn't give you that benefit, you have to buy it on the open market. You're paying with after-tax dollars, so it's all coming out of your pocket. And right now, a family policy, I think, across the United States averages between $10,000 and $12,000 a year, and it's enormous cost.
You know, I step back and take a look at this problem, which just seems to be enormous. You just touched on basically the very, very small tip of the iceberg. We're talking about people who are listening to the show. We'll eventually get to doctors, those kids who are going to medical school and assume six- or seven-figure size debts, pharmaceutical companies, the regulators, the hospitals, under-treatment, over-treatment. Let's talk about that. It seems that, in many cases, we've created a very, very wealthy strata called subspecialty or specialty doctors.
Right. Well, you've raised another interesting point. This all gets back to reimbursements. So now, a terrific expert on this is David Cutler, who's an economist up at Harvard, and he's pointed out that, look, we reimburse very, very well for specialty care, for subspecialty care. So if you have a heart attack and go into the hospital and get, bypass surgery for your heart to open up your veins, that physician's going to be reimbursed very well. On the other hand, we're not spending the money up front to your primary care physician to ensure that you eat healthy, exercise regularly, stop smoking, and if you do have high cholesterol, take your medicines regularly. If you do all of those things, and those are all very cheap things, you can avoid a very expensive heart attack.
Is that the government's job, Dr. Howard, or the individual to use a little common sense? In other words, you pointed you talked about the cardiologist. Obviously, if you have a heart attack and you're in the midst of a heart attack, and I've been there three times, I don't care what it costs.
Absolutely.
Because I want to be around tomorrow.
Right.
So when the bill comes, I say, oh, no problem. However, human nature being what it is, the primary care guy, you get a sore throat, and you say, well, maybe I'll go to the drugstore and pick up some lozenges.
Let me suggest a couple of out-of-the-box ways to start thinking about healthcare that we
Good.
Want to consider.
Good.
Here's one of the out-of-the-box ways. Look at the evolution, the continuing evolution of small clinics. They're called convenient care or retail clinics located in your Walgreens or your Walmart.
Have noticed them springing up, yes.
Springing up, hundreds of them across the country, perhaps thousands more to open in the next couple of years. Places where you can go on 15 minutes notice to see a nurse practitioner, which means a person who has gone to school, gotten a master's degree in health services, has a certain degree of skill, is not a doctor, cannot treat everything, but can treat lots of very basic conditions very inexpensively and very quickly.
Well, let me ask you, for example, if I feel I'm having strep,
right?
Can I go in there rather than make an appointment that I can get to in 6 weeks?
Absolutely.
To see my primary caregiver?
Go in there at the spur of the moment. Well, you're in your Targets or your Walgreens shopping for something else, for food or clothes. You can stop in there at a moment's notice and get that easy access healthcare and maybe get a cholesterol screening where you're at it. And then if they catch something very simple, but an elevated cholesterol level, problems with your blood sugar, they can then refer you to a primary care physician when they see that there's a potential problem.
Oh.
So here we're expanding access. We're lowering costs, and we're making it easier for you, the consumer who, you know, let's be honest, a lot of us are not always paying that much attention to our health over a long-term period, to say, oh, well, here I am in a store. Maybe I should get that checked out. Much easier to access and could be one of the things that helps us contain costs.
So let me ask a question in terms of the marketing of this concept. I think it's a great idea, and I think we've all seen them from time to time popping up. But why hasn't there been, other than the Walgreens or the CVSs of the world, et cetera, and the large change, why hasn't there been more publicity, more marketing, telling the average Joe, this is the place you can go if you feel like you got a bad throat or you're coming down with what's known today as the super virus? This is where you can start your journey?
Right, exactly. That's
why?
A great point. Again, it's back to the fragmented nature of the healthcare system. So, health insurance, in general, unless you're a large corporation and you self-insure, is regulated at the state level. So there are lots of individual state regulations that may limit the availability of these clinics, limit how they operate, limit how they can advertise.
Are these covered, by the way, if I walk into one of these drugstore clinics?
For some of them. For some of them do, in fact, have your insurance. And one thing that would be interesting, I think policymakers should think about, and here's another out-of-the-box idea.
Okay.
Let these Medicare patients, pardon me, these Medicaid patients, these poor people who are having trouble finding access to doctors, reimburse the small convenient care clinics for treating them. That way you give them another place to go besides the emergency room. And that means you're not spending money treating cases that could easily be treated in other places, and that saves more money for the really expensive cases.
Paul, what would that require? That's a great idea. What would that require?
I think it would require governors at the state level talking to their regulators and saying to them, you know, in our individual Medicaid plans, we're going to offer this option to our Medicaid members where they're available. We're going to require private plans to reimburse or tell them to negotiate with these companies to get reimbursements from these convenient care clinics. Open up another door for people to give them access.
Dr. Paul Howard is our guest on the Dave Baum Show here on TalkZone.com. Our phone number, 1-888-463-6748. We got a long way to go. 1-888-463-6748. When we come back to our conversation with Dr. Howard, we pick up on the difference between over-treatment and why that's a problem, and under-treatment and why that's obviously a problem. Stick around.